this one specific that you major.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Appreciate everybody being here. First order of business is roll call.
Commissioner Lopez.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Here.
And Supervisor Perlier.
Excuse. Also, we have a change. Our Deputy County Counsel, Jennifer, is not with us anymore. We have a new person, Andrew Hamilton. So, welcome. And we appreciate you being here, early even.
You guys work in the building.
Good to see you.
It is.
Okay. Housekeeping, if you would please put your phones on silent or just turn them off. On the consent agenda, we've got quite a few emails, but they've all been addressed. Oh, that's right. Sorry about that. Sorry, proceedings for March. I looked at it, it looked really good. Is there any changes that we need to make or not any to have?
I see you see my file.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Aye. You guys are too fast for me. Bing, bing, bing. Okay, good.
Did we have a vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's very quiet.
Very, very quiet.
Okay. Consent agenda, we have like 15 emails. They've all been addressed. Does anybody want to pull one with any discussion? Or if not, I need a motion to receive and file.
Rana Bailey.
Okay, we've got a motion to receive the file.
She has a question.
Yeah.
Oh, you do have a question, okay.
It's Brianna Bailey.
You need to defer.
Urgent request to review. It's about the denial of getting her dogs back. Has that been settled?
Commissioner Geary, through the chair, yes. Without getting too into the details of it, this is animals that were impounded and animal control had required certain property improvements to be made before the animals were returned. So the pet owner disagreed and it was resolved eventually. She had put up a kennel and she was at that point allowed to redeem her pets.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. We have a motion to receive. I need a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you. Public presentations. Let's see here. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification. Make a referral to staff for factual information or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct staff to place a matter of business on any future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. And you get 2 minutes, but on tonight, you might get 2.5 minutes. I'm very generous. Table one, anything? Joan?
Terry?
Oh, okay, yeah, it's on the list.
Okay.
It's there. It should be on. No, it's not on.
I think it's on, isn't it?
No, not yet.
I haven't changed the batteries, Lana.
It's all right, Terry. We can hear you.
Yep. I know. Everybody can hear me. Okay. Terry Kahn, anyways, to Hatchby. And so I just want to say that I was to support you guys. I was on, I don't know if it's next door at Facebook. I can't remember. But there was a couple dogs up in Tehachapi. There was a big black lab female. And they said pit bull, look like an American bulldog, but most people can't tell the difference. But he'd been really injured. And so the person that finally, besides driving by, going, oh, somebody ought to do something, somebody actually did something, called Animal Services, who came and picked him up. I know that the bulldog guy, he died. I don't know if he died on scene or had to be euthanized from his injuries. But the girl was there. People started going flipping Looney Tunes because how dare you should never, ever, ever take him to the shelter. No, the shelter should, he'd kill 500 dogs a month. And I mean, they were going, and so I was very glad that the, whatever the most recent director's report with all your numbers and everything is online. And I got on there and said, damn, I'm not going to. So I went in, so you can have your own opinions, that's fine, but do not have your own facts. These are the facts. And I took the numbers off of your report and put in there, and it was like 179 dogs had been killed. And I put it there. Some were sick, some were, you know, terrible behavior. And it just, you know, it happens. And so people started calming down after that, but I think everybody, I know a lot of people don't like social media. It doesn't scare me at all. But yeah. Go ahead and support, and know that if you don't have a paper of his director's report, it's online on the county on the Animal Services website. And you can just click on that, download it in like 2 seconds, and have it for you. So, yay. But that was it.
Yay.
Terry?
Thanks, Terry.
So, the girl who started all that, she moved up from Tarico Canyon, where we moved up from. And I had a heart-to-heart with her, and I also posted on there. She still has a dog because she's not giving
There's
it up.
There's like 80 comments
she's
on
She's not giving
anymore.
It up to anybody. She's waiting for the perfect one. So it's still.
Yeah.
But thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Oh, well, you bet I did.
Thanks, Karen. Joe, did you have something? No? Okay. Table two.
Don't start my clock yet. Nick.
Oh, okay, I won't.
Sandy Giuliani, 93309. Before we start my 2 minutes, please, I just want to say something. Happy early birthday, Melissa.
Oh my gosh, nobody was supposed to know that.
It's on the calendar, man.
Facebook. Blame it on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
and also, that. I want to thank you. I don't know if I thank you and you, Jennifer, for bringing SNP to Lamont. That's huge. Thank you, because I feed in Lamont. God, thank you. So I just wanted to say my thank you. Okay, all right. Almost 2 years ago, because of my love for dogs, I joined Bakersfield Strays and Friends of Abandoned Dogs to try to make a difference and be a voice for the voiceless. After volunteering at the shelter, but it was too overwhelming, that's why I stopped. I'm sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to drop you. Today, I stand in front of you, heartbroken and absolutely disgusted by the behavior of so many so-called human beings. Day after day, week after week, and month after month, you can find our group faithfully in the fields on the east side of Bakersfield in Kern County, District 2, District 4, and District 5, feeding abandoned dogs and doing everything we can to save them. The animal abandonment in our county is insane, and nothing is done to prevent people from dumping their animals to suffer a cruel fate. Dumping is equivalent to death because these dogs will face thirst, painful starvation, being shot, attacked by coyotes, death by speeding cars, to just name a few things. Every single time one of our volunteers go out to feed, they are forced to witness horrific scenes. Emaciated dogs, injured dogs, dead dogs left on the side of the road in all condition, puppies abandoned or dead in bags. We have found even a horse that was shot in the head with his legs tied up together and the hooves were so bad that shows neglect. But we see that. This happens in our community every single day. Spay and neuter is extremely important. I agree. But I do believe that it's just a part of the solution. More is needed. So I'm asking you to convey to the Board of the Supervisor that we need to try to take meaningful action before even more innocent animals suffer. Being cheerleaders for rescue organization is not enough. We need accountability, enforcement, and consequences for action. Rescue groups and volunteers cannot continue facing this burden alone, while those who commit these crimes face little to no consequence. The community is exhausted. The shelter staff, volunteers, the street rescuer are overwhelmed. And to these days, the dogs are still paying the heavy price. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else on table two? No? Table three.
Nobody?
Michelle, I thought you always said something.
Michelle!
Come on. Michelle!
Nothing to say.
Michelle! Why? Oh my. She was smiling when she came in today. What's going on with you?
I had a good dinner.
We're starting to feed you better, I think.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm way embarrassed right now.
Okay, so I'll take that as a no then. So I'm seeing that, we'll come back to that table. Appreciate that. So, at this time, it's staff announcements or reports. Gregory Collin, and he gets to talk about 2 months' worth.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Blackburn. I'm going to hit the lights if you guys want to. We're going to try this again.
Can you guys see that? Yes.
So, Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Before I get started, I want to mention a few things. I think Terry mentioned that there are director's reports available on the website. I just want to point out, you can go back to 2015 if you ever were curious and wanted to spend a couple of hours or days looking at data from 11 years ago. You're welcome to do that. I mean, it's not going to be fun data to look at, but it'll give you some perspective as to where we are now and where we were then. And then I also wanted to mention that the county, the second county budget meeting occurred Tuesday morning. That's when the county determines where to spend money and how to spend money and what department gets what money to fund what programs. So that budget, that meeting happened on Tuesday. And I think there's one more budget meeting that will happen in June before the budget gets adopted. So just a friendly reminder to participate in government, and you get the government that you deserve most of the time. So we have to participate. If there are projects and programs and departments that we feel strongly about, at the time that the budget meetings are heard, public input is what changes the budget and what influences the budget. So I just welcome all of you to make your voices heard at the time that the budgets are developed. We did not have a meeting last month, so we have kind of 2 months of data to go over. I'm not going to scrutinize the data too significantly for March, but a few things I'll touch on. Right around February or March historically is when the weather starts heating up, and that's when we start seeing more animals coming into the shelter. Not cats just yet, but certainly dogs. 365 animals came into the Kern County Animal Shelter in the month of March. Our rescue team is just doing some really amazing work. In March, they sent 283 animals out to rescue partners. I think I've said before that last calendar year, the rescue team, our rescue staff, sent over 4,000 animals out to rescue partners all throughout the state and western United States. We provided for the sterilization of 357 animals in the month of March through our own collaboration with local organizations like SOS Dog Rescue and the SNP Bus, among others. And then our TNR program is still operable. I'll touch on this in a minute, but we started having some community meetings that I want to actually invite all of you to. We had a community meeting a couple weeks back, and one of the most common topics we heard about were cats, feral, free-roaming cats in all parts of the community that there doesn't seem to be a solution for. And, you know, the public was right. I don't really have a solution for that. You know, that as terrible as the situation is for abandoned dogs in our county, you know, I can't really adequately describe how terrible the situation is for cats in our community, really across the country, but my experience is in Kern County. So just something to consider, that TNR program is still a viable option for feral cats. It is run entirely through Critters Without Litters. It is very competitive to get an appointment. We understand that. I'm continually trying to evaluate programs to figure out a way that we can deliver TNR surgeries in a more efficient way. Nothing special on the adoption specials. We have adoption specials all the time. We really want to get to, well, here's a cute thing. That's our Easter Bunny mascot. At Easter time, we set up shop at a couple of local retail establishments, and we allow people to take pictures with their pets and the Easter Bunny, and it's always pretty well received. That's one of our animal control officers that has volunteered to be in
that. And the other one's Melissa?
No. Possibly.
I'm too short. I don't fit in the costume.
And we also were recognized at the Condors game. It was a pet awareness night at the Kern County, at the Bakersfield Condors game. Our staff were able to purchase tickets. The public were able to purchase tickets. And I think we almost sold out on tickets. If we didn't actually sell out, came close to it. I think I ended up having to go get more. So that's the first for that. But it's always good for staff. We have adoptions that we set up on the concourse too. I don't think any animals got adopted, but always get well received by the community there. I'm going to skip on down to an operation that we've been doing lately. We work through the Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services team to obtain some funding through the state of California. It was a grant that we obtained through the state to try and provide services to pets belonging to the homeless. And so we've been doing this program since October. We don't publicize it or market it very often. We're trying to direct the resources directly to the homeless community. So we've been doing a lot of spay neuter in the homeless community, but we've also been doing wellness clinics, which is basically just free veterinary care. And in March, we brought one to Hope on Heart. If you don't know what Hope on Heart is, that's a tiny home community on 201 East Roberts Lane in Oildale. I think there's 48 tiny homes that it's transitional housing, and they allow pets at that facility. And so in March, we set up shop with our vet coach and our team, and we provided free veterinary care to the animals that belong to those clients there. So we do that at least once a month. We're going to be transitioning to 2 times a month now. And we're just, again, trying to provide some sort of veterinary care to the animals that that most need it, that are probably never going to obtain veterinary care. And so if you see our team out at either the M Street Navigation Center or the Hope on Heart facility, next month we'll be at Church Without Walls. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. We're providing veterinary services to clients who are experiencing homelessness. Here's just a few pictures of our team out at Hope on Heart. This picture in the upper right-hand corner, that's Officer Johnston. And she, along with a couple of our other officers, they just have a special place in their heart for not only the animals that belong to the homeless community, but the community themselves. You know, it's just, if you don't know, like, the folks that are experiencing homelessness, without judgment, if you can withhold judgment for a second, like, they love their animals more than you could possibly imagine. And, you know, I have not experienced gratitude like I have experienced gratitude for this community receiving care for their pets, because these people just love their animals so much. And we have so many just incredible stories that are coming out of these clinics, and it's just we've identified just a huge need, and it doesn't mean we discount all of the other needs in the county, but this community needs to be addressed and serviced as well. Our field services calls have remained pretty consistent in March. It's almost 1,700 calls received in the month of March. I want to skip down to a video. You'll have to strain to hear this because Danny and I still haven't figured out the audio. We thought we did, but we were wrong. So this story, this video kind of tells the story on its own. But basically, this is a story about Ty. You know, I think it's just all too often we see so many dogs and cats that come into our shelter, so many that are abandoned that we just either know they don't have an owner or assume they don't have an owner, or just no one ever comes for them. And so the stories where somebody actually does come for them are special to us. So this is Ty's story. One of our officers was in the northwest side of town and picked this little guy up at North Meadows Park. And the officer just had a pretty strong feeling that he had an owner. And so this is Ty's story. I'll read this. This past Tuesday, I'm gonna go back. This past Tuesday, this lost dog was found at North Meadows Park in Oildale. Animal control officer brought him in, posted a short video looking for his owner. The video got a whole bunch of views on social media. We took the dog out in a playgroup the next day, let him decompress. He did really good. He made friends. He didn't have to stay with us long.
Here you go, buddy. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's been a rough day, huh? Rough couple days, huh?
So about 24 hours later, Ty's owner came for him. He was at the door when we opened the next day. Collar and tag, microchips are important, yeah. Of course. You can get a free tag for your pet through our website, kerncountyanimalservices.org. Yeah, that's a good story. And it's just more of a reason to please. I know everybody in this room already does this, but like if you see us posting videos, the only way for people to see it is if you share it. So the more you share the content that we put out there, the more people see it, the more stories like this can actually happen. The next video that I want to show you is of our deputy director, Melissa Wells, along with our mascot, Shepherd Barker. Melissa and Officer Barker went out to Old River Elementary. And they stopped to read to some of the kids and preach responsible pet ownership. Officer Barker and Melissa visited Old River Elementary for reading day.
Celebrity.
Officer Barker was mobbed by the students. Every student he met got a high five and a smile. Once inside, Melissa read the story of the wonky donkey. I don't know what that is, but.
It's about a donkey that's a little different.
He's miming the story, evidently. And then he passed out a bunch of high fives and he gave some more smiles. And so just everybody knows that that's not all that uncommon. It's mostly our officers. They go out in the community, and we have two mascots. We have Shepherd Barker and Whiskers, a dog and a cat. And again, it's really just to change people's perceptions of animal services and animal control, and really just to make our staff sweat in a costume for a little bit. We'll talk about some data real quick. At this point in March, we were saving 83.66% of the animals that came to us, slightly above where we were last year. And then the month of March, we saved just under 85% of the animals that came to us. But month of March saw 776 dogs come to us. That's still a whole hell of a lot of dogs. That's a lot of dogs, yeah. So that is the director's report for March. Any questions on that before I move on to April?
I've got one question.
Yes, sir.
Tiny house. This is the first time we've talked about tiny houses on Roberts Lane. Can you go back and explain what that is again?
So a tiny home is...
Tiny homes, whatever.
It's basically exactly what it sounds like. It's a very small home.
Well, I see them on TV. I know what they are. But yeah. I mean, I didn't know we really had a group of them on Roberts Lane.
Yeah, it's a county project in collaboration with some local nonprofits. Hope the Mission is the name of the nonprofit that is partnered with the county. If you are familiar with Oildale, if you take Roberts Lane east of Chester, there's the Rasmussen Senior Center right there on the right-hand side.
By Manor Drive.
And then just past the senior center, there used to be a vacant property, the vacant lot right there. The county purchased that property, and this is 3-4 years ago. They built 48 tiny homes that are meant to be transitional housing to get people off the streets and provide them some wraparound services to get them reintegrated into society as well. Any other questions about March? Okay, let's talk about April.
I want to talk about one other thing. That video of the dog that was lost and found, you guys did a great job. Whoever did it, it was social media, is it?
It's this guy over
Danny.
Danny. Danny. Well, tell me, what's the detail on how did that happen? How did you reunite him, Danny?
Well, as mentioned in the video, the animal control officer just had a feeling that the dog was really well behaved and nice and clean and friendly and all that stuff, and said, hey, you know, can we, you know, maybe just get a spotlight on this dog? And so we got some quick footage, we posted it online, got a lot of shares, and thankfully the owner saw it and reached out and came down the following day.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, the look on that dog's face when he realized where he was, you could tell how sad he was. He was a very sad dog. But then, you know, good job on reuniting him. Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving right along. So for April of 2026, we had pretty much more of the same, what we would expect. 409 animals came into the animal shelter, majority of those dogs. Again, our rescue team is kicking butt. I'm sorry, 409 animals left with rescue partners, which is, again, there's can't say enough about our rescue team, how hard they work, how committed they are to networking animals and finding rescue partners. We recently really started our transport program again. It went dormant there for a minute, but our team is doing rescue transports all across the state. But they're really busy connecting shelter pets with potential nonprofit partners. So I want to give another shout out to our rescue team that just does an amazing job. In the month of April, we had a adoption special, $25. Did we do just one dog this month? Well,
that was May.
That was May, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that next month then. We had an April Fool's promotion. I just want to point out the Yeti in the upper left-hand corner.
How many Yetis did you adopt?
I won't get into that. I won't get into the reason why there's a Yeti on there, but you can talk to me.
Come on, now you gotta tell us.
You can talk to me after the meeting. You should believe in the Yeti, that's all I'm saying. As I usually say at our commission meetings, our team has an off-site component to it. There's an off-site adoption team. Every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, we'll be out in the community bringing adoptable dogs to the community, because we know that sometimes people don't want to come into the animal shelter. They find it a depressing or just tough to stomach. So we know that some of those people will still adopt an animal. They just don't want to do it in the animal shelter. So we bring the animals to them. So we have a few awesome partners, Petco, PetSmart, Tractor Supply. Some of these places, they just have an open-ended, like, hey, show up whenever you want and sling animals. And we do, and we're grateful that we have the partners that we do. We were at Scottish Games. It wasn't super successful for adoptions, but we're there pretty much every year. Sparkling Image is another awesome partner. They're, I think, 6 locations, and they just allow us carte blanche to come out on any Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and set up, and they promote it, and super good partners. We hit a record in our Streets of Bakersfield program. If you're not sure what the Streets of Bakersfield program is, a lot of the animals in the animal shelter, a lot of dogs in the animal shelter, they could really benefit from just some marketing. And we have limits on our social media reach and just the way the algorithm works, the way social media works. We can network and market our animals in a much better, more efficient way if we get members of the community to market them on their own social media platforms. So the Streets of Bakersfield program accomplishes that. It's a doggy day out program. Folks come in, they sign up real quick, and we give them a shelter dog that we have mostly vetted, and they take him out for the day. And they spend the day with them, and they bring them back, and they fill out a report card, and they post pictures, and they tell stories about their experience. And there's some really wonderful videos out there that people have made about their experiences with Streets of Bakersfield. But really, it comes down to just networking the animals in the shelter, and it does a really good job of that. It also gets people to recognize and acknowledge the plight of homeless dogs. I think there's a lot of times when people get word of the Streets of Bakersfield program and they come to the animal shelter and they're just astounded by how many dogs there are. And so we don't want people to be turned away from an animal shelter because of their experience, but we also want them to see the reality of it. But we wanted to point out that in April, we hit a record. We had sent 68 dogs out on the Streets of Bakersfield program. I don't know that number means much to you, but yes, 68 dogs is a lot. Especially for our staff, and it's mostly volunteers too that run the Streets of Bakersfield program. I mean, our staff does a lot of the prep work. They vaccinate and microchip every dog that's going to go out, but which in and of itself takes a lot of time. But it's volunteer run. If you come down on a Saturday and you participate in the Streets of Bakersfield, you're going to be engaging with a volunteer who's there to do it for free, for no other reason than to help the shelter pets. So 68 animals left that day, sort of an extension of the Streets of Bakersfield program about 6 months ago. It's called Streets of Bakersfield Sleepovers, SOBS, as we call it. And the cool thing about this day is not only did 68 dogs leave, but 12 got to spend another couple of days with their caregiver. So it was a good day for the Streets of Bakersfield program. I wanted to point that out. Field services calls came down slightly, 1,400... slightly less than what it was in March, but just under 1,500 calls were run for service. 100 dogs were secured on property by animal control officers. What do we mean by that? Animal control officers, for the most part, they carry drills, boards, screws, zip ties. I'm telling you, man, like, our officers do everything they possibly can to avoid having to take people's animals when it's not a public safety threat. So 100 dogs were returned and secured on their property by animal control officers in April of 2026. That's their primary focus for the most part, is to try to get the animals back to where they belong and prevent it from escaping again. And talk about CAF. Our staff ran 23 calls for commercial animal facility permits in April. 9 of those calls were for breeding, 7 were for rescue, 2 for kennel inspections, and 5 for boarding facilities. There's currently 52 active commercial animal facility permits in the county of Kern. Our volunteer program, we saw, so there was an uptick usually this time of year, spring break, but we saw 732 hours donated in the month of April, which is a lot for us. I wanted to tell a story about Kaiba. Kaiba was a dog that came to the shelter. He had a clotting issue. His nose was bleeding profusely. He was microchipped, but the microchip information was outdated, which is super unfortunate. But our staff, they were like sleuths. we were talking about it today that we pay for a Spokio account. So Spokio is it's an account where you can find information on just about anybody you want, which is a little creepy, but our staff uses it a lot to try to track down pet owners. Like, the microchip information being outdated is such a bummer, because we get excited the dog is a microchip and then we find out the information is outdated. So our staff will usually move heaven and earth to try to find a phone number or an address or an email for somebody. Well, we were able to find Kaiba's information, and we got Kaiba back home. So another happy ending for a dog. Not all of them end in a happy ending. Of course, we wish it was everyone, but this one worked out.
Did he come as a stray?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
He'd been gone for quite some time from his owner. Mm-hmm.
Wow. We had a volunteer appreciation barbecue in April. I can't believe it was April already. Some idiot was barbecuing hamburgers and hot dogs in the upper left hand corner of the picture.
Who could that be?
Some moron. But we just wanted to really show some appreciation for all of our volunteers. And, we, of course, were not able to recognize all of the volunteers. This is National Volunteer Appreciation Week. And there's so many volunteers who do so much. Some of them aren't even actual animal services volunteers, and they do a lot of volunteer work for us. And so it's just a little way that we can show some appreciation, and really answer questions from the volunteers, engage with them, spend some time getting to know the deputy director's husband.
Who is very funny.
Wanted to throw a shout out to Discovery Elementary. Every year now, I think for 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row? 3 years in a row. Discovery Elementary gets together and they collect all kinds of cool things for our shelter animals. And this year was no different. They delivered us just a giant tub of supplies, treats and toys and blankets and towels and stuff like that. And it's a massive effort that they take on, and they do it every year. And while they were delivering the supplies, the picture on the left-hand side, I don't know if you can tell some of the faces of the kids. Maybe they've never been to an animal shelter before, because it's a little pungent sometimes. But it was funny too, because I was walking by and some of the kids were just weren't affected at all. Like, they could be eating lunch while they were walking through there and you wouldn't have known. And then other ones just had their shirts over their faces. But the kids were just super cute, and we appreciated the effort that they made. And then there was a pink fire truck that came by, and the kids got to take a picture on the fire truck. We thought that was pretty neat. Just more donations that come in from our community. It really takes a village to help care for all these animals. We had a visit from Girl Scout Troop 3670. We had a visit from Teen Miss Lost Hills. I didn't know there was such a thing. Kern River Transitional Care. Treats and toys and blankets, and you'd be amazed at how much our animals need on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that comes from donations. Just to give you an idea of year to date, as of the last day of April, we've affected 1,488 adoptions, 1,439 animals sent to rescue partners. 323 animals returned to their owner. Overall, almost 4,000 lives saved. 81.06% of the animals that have come to us since January 1st have left our care alive. And that concludes the director's report for both March and April. Sorry for the extended director's report. We wanted to make sure I covered everything. So with that being said, I can answer any questions.
Well, that was different. I'll let the commissioners have any questions.
Director Coleman, I had a question regarding the flyer and the about the community public safety meetings that are being held. I know one's already been held, and then the June 10th one. I wonder whether there's Spanish language interpretation being provided at these meetings.
So at the first one we had, yes. Yeah. And that's the plan moving forward.
That flyer's too double-sided. Do you have a flyer for the meeting? Yeah. In English and Spanish. Yes.
Yeah, we had Officer Lopez, and he was there for translation. It turned out he didn't need to be, but we're going to make sure that...
Right, so is there outreach being done to the local community?
So we have not... This is not a KCAS undertaking, but we that was our first meeting, and we kind of didn't know what to expect. So we didn't advertise it. We didn't market it real heavily. But with our upcoming meeting, we're going to get behind it a little bit more just because we kind of know what to expect now. And we're going to fix a few things that I think went sideways. but I do encourage, as part of the director's report, I forgot to mention, I do encourage you guys to come out. It's really what it is, the organizations that are part of the Current Safe Coalition, we just are thinking about ways that we can change perceptions and answer questions and, eliminate myths about animal control and animal services. Not everybody shows up at these meetings and hears all this information, and so we want to try to talk to part of the community that maybe isn't so aware of animal welfare, but that has a connection to animal welfare through public safety. So what we mean by that is there may be people out there that are scared to walk to the mailbox because of a stray dog or their neighbor's dog. We want to try to talk to those people to hear their feedback and introduce them to some of the resources that exist so that they can be a part of the solution. And by resources, we mean spay and neuter. And so that's the intent behind these things. It's multi-agency. It's the city of Bakersfield that's represented. There's all the Current Safe organizations are there. We're gonna do one in every district and then some of the outlying areas as well. And then we made an offer to the city of Bakersfield that if they want to do one in city areas and target it to city residents, that we'll be there for that as well.
Thank you.
I'm curious, what was the misconception that some people had about this? What did they think it was going to be?
About the community meeting?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a misconception about what they thought it was about. I think there's a lot of misconception about animal control. A lot. Yeah, and I asked quite a few people, like, what are the most common questions, comments that you get about animal control that was seriously wrong? And I got more than I needed. Like, I think Commissioner Miller could probably share some of those common misconceptions with you.
Yeah, so I think the meeting is just like... meeting people where they're at, trying to connect with them, and getting the education out there to how to use your local animal control agencies. Because, like Nick said, many people, we think that most people know how to navigate it, and when you go out there, you will realize that
the education level of how to use animal control is not there. So,
but the,
making relationships, finding other community people that are concerned, trying to help them get the resources for them. It's a very, it's very admirable that everybody got together and started meeting people where they're.
To give you an example of the misconception, one of the pieces of correspondence that came in through the commission was a gal who was complaining about her next door neighbor. The dogs were out all the time. She was scared for her safety and the safety of others. She had emailed and phone called dispatch and was upset because we hadn't shown up and we hadn't done anything about it. What she didn't know is that we did show up each and every time, but by the time we had showed up, the dogs had been secured back on the property. And so there's a misconception that, well, because I called and the animals were still there, that nothing was done. And eventually what happened is we did catch those animals off property, we did see it, and we had a conversation with the pet owner, and the pet owner ended up surrendering the animals at the time. So they didn't know that we had been out there every single time and that we had responded. They didn't see us out there, but the perception was is that I called and nothing was done. And so part of these meetings are to answer those types of questions where people say, hey, I called you last week and nothing got done.
Let me
look into that call for you and tell you actually what was done, you know, and then explain what I'm talking about now is that it's more complex than you might imagine when you call animal control and you report a loose dog and what we can do and what we can't do and how we function. So those are the types of misconceptions that we hear a lot. There's also stuff that's pretty standard, like you're going to come on my property and take my animal and go kill it. And that's not the case. Like, there's some basic, really wild ideas about what we do. And that's the point of these meetings, is to not only dispel some of those misconceptions, but to introduce the folks that have those misconceptions to the resources that exist in their own community.
I think it's a fantastic tool. And also, under director's reports, I'm tired of people saying, you don't do anything. Look at these reports. So I can get these online and I can post them elsewhere?
Yes.
That Shelley girl.
Commissioner Geary, through the chair, like I said, every director's report with all the statistics is available on the Kern County Animal Services website back to 2015.
Okay.
I'll email the page to you.
Can I just go back? I found four typos on the flyer.
Okay.
Yeah. Which slide? Spanish or
the Spanish slide.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can't be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll grab it from
here.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions on the report? Okay. Table 1, any questions for Director Cohen? Terry, anything? Okay. Table 2. Nothing. Table 3. Wow, you stumped the audience. Okay, good.
I bored him. I bored him to death.
Okay, good. All right, well, we need, since there's no other questions, to come back to the table, and I need a motion to receive and file the report.
I'll
second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Commissioners' announcements or reports. On their own initiative, commissioners may make an announcement or a report on their own activities and may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action to have the staff place a matter of business on a future agenda. Commissioner Lopez, any announcements?
No.
Okay, real good. Commissioner Green, got something?
A lot of you already know what it is, but my other hat is Central California Animal Disaster Team. We set up shelters, temporary animal shelters, to prevent a disaster. And depending on what the disaster is where we go. Well, apparently a lot of stuff that happens down in Lake Isabella, that area, the people and animals get rerouted to Ridgecrest. I'm not quite sure why it just seems to happen that way. So we just did a big volunteer training in Ridgecrest, and hopefully we'll get some volunteers that will come out of that and they can set up a shelter as the rest of the volunteers are coming into Ridgecrest. So it's a really, really good thing to have volunteers that could just step up and be there in 5 minutes. So hopefully these people will follow through with their requirements, because there's quite a bit of requirements, but they're not that difficult. So yeah, we had a good class, and we'll be doing another one probably in the near future.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they're doing that, because, you know, fire season's already here, folks. I mean, what's all the fires that are in May? I've never really seen it like this before.
I stopped coming down the 58. Fire.
Yes.
All along the 58.
I mean,
so if I could, just, if I could interject, Commissioner Blackburn, if I could interject for a second.
Yes.
Big shout out to the Bakersfield Obedience and Training Club for all their efforts in fundraising disaster response trailers, because we actually did have to deploy just this past weekend. There was a fire up in Rosemond, and we were asked to respond. And so we hooked up the brand new trailer. We were halfway there, and then they told us to stand down. But just to give you an idea, yes, the fire season is upon us. There's a huge fire burning, I think it's San Bernardino right now.
Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
First of all, we've got some experiences for the group from last month. He's got the floor.
I think, I don't mean because Nick was a part of this too, but we were able to, because it fell on between April and May, we were able to send some of our dogs to Caesar Milan for 2 weeks, and they get training, and they get highlighted, and it's been working out good for us, because the dogs come back very social. They're around llamas, chickens, ducks, pigs. There's emus there. Donkeys, I can keep on going, but the dogs get socialized there, and I can see it when I bring them back. We've been just been out in the community lately, working with the city of Bakersfield and Kern County, addressing spay and neuter. We've been canvassing. Michelle has been canvassing with the, we went out a couple times. Michelle has got some of her flyers in some of the new schools. I think she does that, you know, weekly with keeping up with the schools and stuff. So we're really trying to get out there and meet people where they're at. We realize there's a problem. So what Sandy said earlier, that spay and neuter is one of the issues, it's true. It's multifaceted, and it needs education and enforcement. There's a lot of things, and by working all together, I see hope at the end of the day.
I know you're on the SNF bus today.
Yeah, so
some experiences from that.
Yeah, I don't know who our community partner. I know Bakersfield City was one. We are going to be trying to get funding from them again, from the city, to invest in mobile spay and neuter, and challenge them, and just try, because dogs don't realize, like, across how Bakersfield set up. A dog crosses the street and they're in county, and they're right there. So we try to bring it all together and help every pet that we can by working together to Kern Safe. I did have an experience from one of my dogs had a reaction to her food that she's been eating for a long time, and I went into VCA, and it literally, I only have one dog now, I usually have two, but it literally scared me to own pets now, how expensive vet care is right now. So I appreciate,
VCA,
and the dog only got fluids and special food, and it was
go
over at that so I really appreciate the county addressing these needs, because vet care is out of reach for most people in Kern County right now. So, and we're in a vet shortage, so these programs really matter. So, yeah, more.
The SNP bus coordinator, what's her name again?
Oh, Candace.
Candace, yeah. She couldn't make it tonight, but...
Yeah, if we can...
Can we put her on the agenda for next month?
Sure.
Okay, because I don't want her to show up and not be on the agenda and then, oh, you can't talk, like that happened a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So, we didn't have our meeting last month. She probably was available, but we just weren't available.
Right. Yeah, Candace and her SNP bus, even though Nick has those numbers,
yeah,
and every agency, she's probably doing anywhere between 1,000 to 3,000 spay and neuters a month.
A month.
Wow.
Yeah. That's excellent.
And still not enough. It's
yeah.
Still not enough. More than that.
Yeah, we hope, like, there's a lot of agencies that is doing spay and neuter. I believe ROC, Simi Valley, Spay It Forward, Critters Without Litters, and we're still chasing it. It's a big demand. So
he's had a long day. I mean, we talked on the phone today for almost an hour, so I knew he had more than what he was telling us. So that's why I wanted to tell him a few more experiences. But anyway, we appreciate it. Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you very much. So the problem is old business, there is none, and new business, there is none also. So we're
right on time.
Yeah. Well, actually, we need to go another hour, but anyway. So at this point, we're going to be meeting June 17th, Wednesday, and I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you all for attending. It was a really good meeting.